Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Tedavavu and Aleph by the two dots. Gemara is now going to address the latter half of the Mishnah, the seif of the Mishnah, which is a case where the animal did attain Kedushat HaGuf, but then only after a period of time it had a mum, and now we're going to redeem it, which is otherwise known as Psulei HaMikdashim. Over there we said they are Pturah Min HaBechora, Pturah Min HaMatanot, and the Gemara wants to know, very simply, Minahani Mile, how do we know that's true? Tan Rabbanon, we have the Pasuk in Devarim Yudbet. The Psukim have two layouts over there, two sections to them. One of the sections, Chazal says, is speaking about Psulei HaMikdashim. The second section is speaking about Basar Chulin. So last Masechta we dealt with the section about Basar Chulin. Now we're going to deal with the section that deals with Psulei HaMikdashim. The truth is that they do share a lot in common, the two sections. And the words Tzvi and Ayal actually appear in both of them. But I'm going to assume here that the Tzvi and Ayal that they're using over here is from Devarim Yudbet, Pasuk Tedvav, which Chazal tells us is talking about the Psulei HaMikdashim. Over there it says, Rak, b'chol avat nafshecha, tizbach v'achalto basar, kivrichat Hashem elokecha, asher natan lecha, b'chol she'arecha, tamei v'tahor, yochlenu katzvi v'cha'ayal. So the Chazal tells us that's referring to the Psulei HaMikdashim. You might recognize the fact that it says tizbach v'achalto basar, which is the limud that we have by Psulei HaMikdashim about what you're allowed to do with them. We'll get back to that again a little later today. At the end of the pasuk, it says tamei v'tahor yochlenu katzvi v'cha'ayal. So now the Gemara says tzvi, ma tzvi patur min habichora. Just like tzvi does not have a din of bichora, because bichora only applies to behemot Torot. Psulei HaMikdashim patur min habichora. So too, the Psulei HaMikdashim will be patur min habichora. We're going to treat them like the tzvi, and then the ayah. Otzi ani et habichora v'lo otzi et hamatanot. I would have left out and said, okay, no bichora for Psulei HaMikdashim. What about matanot? Tamad Omar ayo. Ma ayo patur min habichora min hamatanot. Just like ayo is patur from bichora and matanot. Psulei HaMikdashim turim min habichora min hamatanot. So we build, we use tzvi to eliminate bichora. Ayal is also patur min habichora, but in addition, we're going to say it's patur min hamatanot. Tzvi is also patur min hamatanot. But we're building in terms of chiddush. And the Gemara will ask the question, why is that the order? Why would you assume to eliminate bichora first and then matanot? We'll get back to that. But we learn out of the words tzvi and ayal. So Gemara says, okay, if you want to learn out of tzvi and ayal, meaning psulei makdashim have a standard or status like tzvi v'ayal, let us say, ima tzvi v'ayal chel ban mutar. Tzvi and ayal, the fats are mutarim because the chelev of a chaya is mutar, and tzvi and ayal are chayot. That's why they're pturim min habichora and pturim min hamatanot, because they're not behemot. So we'll say the same thing, psulei makdashim chel ban mutar. Should say the same thing by the psulei makdashim. Tamad omar, ach. Pasuk says, ach, chilek, makes a differentiation. It means only partly like a tzvi and ayal, not totally like a tzvi v'ayal. Problem with this is, the word ach only appears in Devarim Yudbet, pasuk chav bet. And there it says, ach, kasher ye'achel et tzvi v'et ayal, ken tolchlenu atameh v'tor yachtav yochlenu. That pasuk is found in the parshata that deals with basar chulin. Not like we said before by the parshata of Psulei HaMikdashim, which is Devarim Yudbet, pasuk tedvav. It's very problematic that the Gemara is quoting the word ach from a different parsha. It also had tzvi v'ayal in the pasuk there, but it's all not speaking about the psulei mukdashim like the pasuk in Tedvav is. So the Torah Tmima actually, on his Perush Chumash, in his notes over there, he says that he thinks that the Girsa and the Gemara should not read ach, but rather rak. Because the pasuk by psulei mukdashim in Devarim Yudbet, pasuk Tedvav reads rak, b'chol avat nafshecha tizbach v'chal ten rak, also a miyut. So he says that he thinks that the end of this Gemara should not read Talmud Omar Ach, but rather Talmud Omar Rak. And that would keep it consistent within the same pasuk and also within the same context of Psulei HaMikdashim. But either way, whether you learn out of the word Rak or Ach, the Gemara is going to say that the Psulei HaMikdashim are like a Tzvi and Ayal in certain respects. They're not like them in other respects. So right now, we're saying that they're like them in terms of being Patur Min HaBechora, Patur Min HaMatanot. They're not like them in being patur min achelev, meaning the achelev is mutar. We here we say the psulei mikdashim, the achelev is asur. Amramar. So now the Gemara goes back and I want to understand what we just learned, which is why was the order of bechora before matanot in terms of elimination? We went tzvi to ayah, we said bechora and then matanot. So, otziyata bechor v'lo otziyata matanot, maishna. What's the difference? Otziyata bechor, shein shaveh bechol. I'm going to eliminate Bechor because it's not equal in all behemot. Only applies to Zecharim. Only applies to firstborn Zecharim. Matanot bakol. Matanot apply to all behemot. Zachar nekeva. Anything that is chulin, matanot apply to. So tamalomar ayo. And that's why the order of the braita that we just quoted was first to eliminate Bechorah from the word Tzvi, and then only to eliminate matanot from the second mute, which is from ayal. And that gives us, or helps us understand the order of that braita. Just like chayot are exempt from otobet beno, because it only applies to shor vaseh, applies to behemot, absolutely mukdashim. So to by the psul mukdashim, ain otobet beno no egbo, or behen. We should say that it doesn't apply to them as well. Similarly, the mai medamik lahu. He says, take a choice. What do you think psul mukdashim are? Ilu chulin, otobet beno no egbo. Ilu kodashim, otobet beno no egbo. So we'll read it first like Rashi. Rashi explains this, that the psulim mikdashim have to be one of two things. You have two options. Either they're chulin, or they are kodashim. One of the two. And in either one of those, a behemah would have a din of oto ved bino. So even though we compare it to tzvi v'ayal, we still have to do something with these psulim mikdashim. And these psulim mikdashim have to either fall into the category of kodashim, or they have to fall into the category of chulin. We want to be consistent in the way that we treat these animals. So if you want to treat them in kodashim, Otobet beno is also asur. Treat them like chulin. Otobet beno asur. So there's no reason to believe that otobet beno should be mutar by the psulei amukdashim. If you want to learn that way, gabi chelbo nami. Why don't we say the same thing by chelev? Before, when we ask, how come these animals are not mutarim bechelev, just like the tzvim ayal, nema achi? Why don't we say the same thing? Lamai medamik luhu. What do you compare them to? Ilu chulin, chelban asur. Ilu kodoshim, chelban asur. Chelev of chulin in a behemah is asur. Chelev of a kodoshim, a behemat kodoshim, is also asur. So if you want to do this, or this logic, if you apply it, then you wouldn't have needed the miut that we had before of ach to eliminate chelev. You should be able to eliminate from the same logic, which is either it's chulin or kodoshim. In either case, it should be asur. Elalav miyamart ach velo chelban. So he says, didn't we just say before the reason by chelev was because of the miut of ach, not because of this logical argument? So he says, if that's the case, emanami ach velo toved beno. We'll say the same thing by ach, ach, and not toved beno. That miut will eliminate toved beno. That miut will eliminate chelev. But with regards to bechorah matanot, they will be like the tzvi and nayal. Why do you divide them up that way? So Rashi says, in mistavra, it makes sense this way. De akesha the miftar me bechorah matanot atya. That makes sense to break it up that way. Because then we are treating the psulei mukdashim like kodashim. Because by kodashim, you are patur from the bechorah, you'd be patur by matanot, you'd be chayav in otov v'etbino, you'd be chayav in chelev. So now we're treating the psulei mukdashim like kodashim. But if you flip them around, they're not like kodashim and not like chulin. If you flip it around and say that they're chayavin in bechorah, chayavin in matanot, so that make it like chulin. But then you say they are pturim me'atov ebeno and pturim me'chelev. That's not like chulin. That's like nothing. Not like chulin, not like kodashim. So it makes sense that the items that we eliminate are otov ebeno and chelev, and the items that we include to be like tzvi and ayal are bechorah matanot, because then we get a consistent picture of this psulei mukdashim, which is that it looks like kodashim. Right? So that's the way Rashi learns this idea of chulin or kodashim. The Rabbeinu Gershom is interesting. Rashi divided it within the single category here. We're dealing with psulei mukdashim. Either it's chulin or it's kodashim. The Rabbeinu Gershom says our Mishnah has two cases. As a case of mum before the hekdesh, and then as a case of hekdesh, and then the mum. And he says one of them we're going to treat like chulin, one of them we're going to treat like kodashim. That's what the Gemara means. Either chulin or the kodashim. You have to treat it like one. It has to be one of those two categories. The Mishnah has two categories. So it's going to tell us that if the mum is before the hekdesh, then it's a din and chulin. If it's the hekdesh, and then the mum is going to be treated like kodashim. That's what the Rabbeinu Gershom says. Then you're treating like kodashim. If you're mechayev them, then you treat like chulin gemurim. Then it's not like either. So the Rabbeinu Gershom says that's the division of the Mishnah. The division of the Mishnah is we have one case of chulin, one case of kodashim, and you have to fall into one of those two categories. But if you don't, if you eliminate Otoved Beno, if you eliminate Chelev, then it doesn't fit into either of those two categories, broader categories of the Mishnah. As Rashi is talking about more narrowly in the Sefer of the Mishnah, do you want to treat it like Chulin or do you want to treat it like Kodoshim? Rava here suggests that we don't need the Ach to eliminate Chelev, because then we can learn from something else. And therefore we have the Ach left over. Ach lo Otoved Beno hu da'ata. It comes to eliminate Otoved Beno. We can learn out the din of Chelev from Damo. Tichtiv, because it says in the Pasuk, in Devarim, Perek Tedvav, with regards to the Bechor, Kol HaBechor, Shei Veleid, Bi Becharcha, Vetzonecha, Hazachar, Takdish, Lashem, Lokecha, Lo Tavod, Bi Bechor, Sherecha, Lo Tagoz, Bechor, Tzonecha. Three more Pesukim, and in the fourth Pasuk it says, truthfully the Pasuk before is, Bisharecha, Toplenu, Atamei, Vetor, Yachdav, Katzvi, Vechayal, and then Rakat Damo, Lo Tochel, Alarz, Tish, Bechenu, Vamayim. So over there it says, you cannot eat the blood. So Mar says, my Damo. What is the dam over there? Ilim adamo mamash. If you think it's real blood, lo yehel adaman ditzviva ayal. You're saying, okay, the bechor here, the bechor balmum is compared to a tzviva ayal. Atu daman ditzviva ayal mishari. So what? Even if it's a tzviva ayal, dam is a sur. Even the dam of a tzviva ayal is a sur. So if that's the case, why do I need the word dam mentioned? Or why do you have to specifically tell me that dam is eliminated over here? Ella, damo is really chelbo, is its fats. So v'lecht over Rachmana Chelbo, why are we hiding it under the word dam? Just write Chelev over there. Ika dachrana Chelev, had the Torah written Chelev, hava mina, ahani keisha, v'ahani kruo. We'll have a hekesh, and we'll have a pasuk. Ahani hekesha, lim ute mikaret. The hekesh will come to eliminate the eating of Chelev from the din of karet. Chikat of karet. When it talks about karet, ochel chelev behema, that's only when you eat the chelev of behema duftiv shenemar, because the pasuk says in Vayikra Zayin, ki kol ochel chelev mina behema. So behemot have a restriction of chelev, chayot do not. That restriction, if one consumes the chelev, is wrought with a chiyuv karet. Vani kara, the mekem alei belav ba'alma. We're talking about chelev, that only applies to a behema. You compare the b'chor to a tzvi v'ayal. You compare the psulim makdashim to a tzvi v'ayal. Tzvi v'ayal don't have a din in chelev. So what I will say is, fine, chelev, you are not chayav karet for. That's a din in behema. But now I do have a pasuk that says, raket chelbo lo tochel, if the word had not been dam, but rather chelev. What am I going to do with that pasuk? I'm going to say that there's a lav. You're right. There's a simple lav not to consume the chelev of these either psulim makdashim, the b'chor ba'al mom. There's an isur against consuming the chelev, not the regular isur of chelev that applies to a behema, which will end up in karet. That was already eliminated, because that's only by the behema. Chelev min behema gets karet. But here we're dealing with something that's compared to a tzvi v'ayal. Tzvi v'ayal, the chelban is mutar. That will teach us, number one, the hekesh between tzvi and ayal will teach us no chiyuv karet. It should be that chelev is mutar. But now I have another pasuk that says, raket chelbo lo tochel. So that would have thought that makes it into a lav. So the Torah said, I'm not going to write raket chelbo, because I don't want you to think that it means that the chelev is a lav and there's no karet. I want you to realize that the chelev remains a sur the gamrei. And therefore I wrote it as dam and instead of chelev. Because then what I'm going to say is, hachi afke rachmona b'lashon dammo. Therefore the Torah expressed chelev in the word dam, lomar lecha, to teach you, ma dammo b'karet. Just like dam is in karet, there's no limitation. Dam applies to chayot, behemot, equally everything. The dam is problematic, and your chayav karet. Av chelbo will say the same thing as big karet. And that's what it'll teach us, that when we have the restriction here against consuming the chelev of the psulei maktashim and of the bechor, even though they're compared to a tzvi v'ayal, that means that you're in the category of chayav karet with regards to chelev. It says, the only problem with this nice vort of Rava is, Rava took care of chelev through this limud of rak et damo lo tochel. He says, we'll take care of oto be'epino from the word ach. But the problem is that that's not what the Braita says. The Braita says, batano ach velo chelbo kamar. The Braita says ach and not chelbo. It comes to eliminate chelev. So achi kamar. No, this is what that Braita meant. Ilu lo nemar damo. Had we not had the pasuk of damo, hayiti omer ach velo chelbo. I would have learned now that I have the alternative of eliminating chelev because of the pasuk rach et damo lo tochel, that's where it's coming for now, is to eliminate otoved beno. When the Braita mentioned Achvelo Chabo, that was just a backup plan. That was just in case we didn't have another limud to eliminate Chelev, I would eliminate it from there. But now that I do have an alternative limud, I use the word Ach to eliminate Oto Ved Beno. Just one note to make over here, Tosfot points it out, which is that the Gemara went to Devarim Perek Tevav by Bechor to find the Pasuk, Garaket Damol Otochel. Interestingly enough, in Devarim Yudbet, Pasuk Tevav, which we quoted before, Rak Bechol Vat Napshechat Yizbach Bechal Debasar, that Pasuk talking about Psalem Oktashim. The next Pasuk, Pasuk Tezayin, says, Rak Hadam Lo Tochelo, Al Arts Tishpechenu Bamayim. Tosfot says, I don't know why the Gemara went to Perek Tevav to Bechor Bamol. It could have just learned it out of Psalem Oktashim. It's the next Pasuk from Psalem Oktashim. Tosfot doesn't have a very strong answer for it, but just suggests that maybe we know from the Gemara's and other places that there are multiple or numerous Lavin when it comes to Dam, and therefore maybe they had some purpose with this Iser Dam in Psalem Oktashim that they didn't have by Bechor Malmum. Tosfot also points out that in general, when we have something that was Yatzam in a cloud, goes out of the cloud, and then the Pasuk comes and is Machzira Toto the cloud, that we give it all the trappings of the cloud. So over here, when the Tzvi V'ayau took Chelev of the Psalem Oktashim out of the normal principle of Karet, when the Pasuk comes back and says, no, really, Chelev is Asur, usually that means that Chelev goes back to the original standing. It goes back to the standing of Chelev like it was before you eliminated it. And that would mean that the Chelev over here should have a status of Karet. Why is the Gemara suggesting that you would have this Avamina, there'd be a Lav? And he says we have other examples of that in Shas. For something we would have thought was accepted from the principle, and then when the Torah brings it back in or gives us a pasuk to say it's included, it becomes back. It chozer l'Yisrael Rishon. It goes back to the original underlying Yisrael that was there. Tosfos wants to be mechalik between this case and other cases in Shas, just pointing out to you that one difficulty that Tosfos raises with this limud. And now we're going to continue. The Gemara says that the Mishnah says with regards to Psulei Mekdashim, v'inyon tzinyo chulin, that they don't go out to chulin. Menahani milay. How do you know that Psulei Mekdashim, after you redeem them, don't take on a full status of chulin? The Tan Rabbanan, the pasuk that we just quoted from before, from Psulei Mekdashim, Rak b'chol avad nafshecha tizbach v'chalta b'atzar. So Gemara learns, tizbach v'lo giza. Zevach, you can shecht it, but you may not shear it. And the Shita Mekvetzet points out that it's not just shearing it, but also you can't do avoda, you can't work with it at all. Your only option is to do shechita. Basar, you can eat the meat, v'lo chalav, but you can't drink the milk of it. V'achalta, you can eat it, v'lo l'klavecha. And you can eat it, but you can't give it to your dogs, meaning that you're allowed to get benefit of achila, you're not to get hana from it. Now truthfully, it's not just klavim, it can be any animal, or it can even be to a goy. The klavecha is just because by nevela we say the kelev tashlichu noto. So therefore they use the term kelev to represent hana'a that's not achila. So the requirement is that you eat it. If you're not getting, if you're going to eat it, then you're not allowed to get any other derivative benefit from it. You're not allowed to sell it, you're not allowed to feed it to your animals, you're not allowed to give it away to the goy. Mikan. From this we learn, Shein Podim et Kodeshim Lachilam Leklavim. From this we learn out that fact that we are not Podeh, you do not redeem Kodeshim to feed them to the dogs, because it says Vachalta. The requirement for Kodeshim, what you can do with these Kodeshim, is to eat them. So that's the way to learn this Pasuk that gets us the next step in our Mishnah. So far we explained why Psuim of Kodeshim are Pturim Mi Bechora, Pturim Min HaMatanot. Now we explain why they Inan Yotzin the Chulin. They don't go out fully to Chulin, they retain a certain level of Kiddusha. Now, Ika de Amre, some explain the pasuk in this manner. Tizbach v'achalta. Ein lecha behen heter achila el mishat zbicha ve'elech. You only have to consume them, you only have to benefit from them from the point of shechita and onward. Which means that you can only eat the basar. The chalav is eliminated because that's before shechita. You can't get the gizah, you can't do anything beforehand because that's before the point of zbicha, that's before the point of shechita. So only shechita and eilech, aval, but we don't have no elimination for v'achalta v'lo l'klavecha, because now we use tizbach v'achalta for that. What about the word basar that we used before? Basar is ruchei dekro. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about basar over here. So they're based on this bright door, the way they explain it now, tizbach v'achalta will eliminate chalav, will eliminate giza avoda, but it will not eliminate or not have the limud of v'achalta v'lo l'klavecha. Because of that, they believe, aval kodin et kodeshim achilam klavim. You can redeem them to feed them the klavim. You can't get that hana from them. If they turn out to be a trade for, if they die and they're in a veila, you can't be poden them in order to feed them to the klavim. So that'd be a machloket in the Braitot. How to learn this pasuk with regards to Psalem Mekdashim. Everybody agrees they don't go out to chulin, meaning that there's an isur giza, there's an isur of taking the chalav, there's an isur avodah. The only thing they disagree about is if it dies and it's an nevela, can you give it to the people dead to give it to the dogs or not? The first braita says no, the second one says yes. Now the next piece of the Mishnah says that by psula mikdashim, bladan v'chalavan asur l'achar pidyonan. When it comes to their vladot and it comes to their chalav, they are asur even after you've redeemed it. And that's what we just saw before in the pasuk that we darshened. Where it says, we understand chalav, we dealt with the other aspects. But about vlad, how do we deal with that? Echidami, what's the case? If you say that they conceived and gave birth after they were redeemed, amai, why should it be that they are not chulin? Vlad Tzvivayalinhu. We said Psulim Mekdashimah compared to a Tzvivayal, and now it becomes like the offspring of a Tzvivayal. Offspring of a Tzvivayal are Chulin the Gamre. So to hear, this Psulim Mekdashim after Pdiyah should produce a Vlad that is totally Chulin. So why should it be a Asur? That cannot be the explanation. Ella, must be. The Abra Lifnei Pijonan, it conceived before it was redeemed. Bijali Lacha Pijonan, it gave birth after it was redeemed. Ha? From that you can infer there's a third case. We did the first two cases. One case is that it conceived and gave birth after it was redeemed. We just did the case, which we say our mission is addressing, which is the case where it conceived while it was hekdesh, while it was psalem mikdashim, and then after you redeemed it, it gave birth. Now Gemara says, well, there's a third case now. What happens if it conceived and gave birth before it was redeemed? So that's what it says. We can infer from this, alif nei bijanam mikdash namikache, that it takes on full-fledged kedusha. How do we know that that's the case? Zachar. So here the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk from the parsha of Shlamim that's found in Vayikra. It says, "V'im zevach Shlamim karbono, im min ha'makar hu makriv, im zachar, im nekeva, tamim yakrivenu lifnei Hashem." So the pasuk by Shlamim in the introduction to Shlamim says you can bring it from a male or a female. So Rashi points out, and the Gemara is suggesting over here that im zachar and im nekeva is extraneous; it's not necessary. Because if you just started at the pasuk im zevach shlamim karbono min habakar hu makriv tamim yakrivenu lifnei Hashem, you don't have to say im zachar im nekeva, because why would you have suggested otherwise? By olah, the Torah says you must bring a zachar, so there it specifies zachar. So that teaches you that had not specified zachar, you would have brought it from a male or a female. So by shlamim, where you can bring it from a male or female, just don't specify, and we would have known that. So that means that im zachar and nekeva are extraneous. So based on that, the Gemara now darshan, son of Aran, zachar, the rabot et avlad. The word zachar comes to include the vlad of kodoshim. When nekeva, the rabot et atmura, to come to include the tmura, that they have a status of kedusha like the animal themselves. Fainly ala vlad tmimim. That pasuk is talking about tmimim. And so the redarshan zachar and nekeva that way. So tumrat tamim, or exchange of a tamim, vladei bale mumim, utumrat bale mumim, how do I know that the offspring of a bal mum, psule mektushim, or tumra bale mumim, of a psule mektushim, inayin, how do I know that those are also kadosh? Shemer im zachar, they're about vlad bale mumim. Im nekeva, they're about tumrat bale mumim. Gemara now is suggesting that we have two bimudim, because they have the word im, and then zachar, and then im, and then keva. So they will teach us that not only is this true by tmimim, this is not only true when you have something that's kudushat aguf that's going to end up on the mizbeach, and it's ra'ui to end up on the mizbeach. Over there we say if it has offspring, or if you try to exchange it onto another animal, either the offspring or the other animal that you try to exchange will come fully fledged kudusha like the origin. So too, we're going to say the same thing by the bali mumim, because you have the word im. By bali mumim, who have offspring, they were kadosh, kedushat the guf, they got a mum kavua, now you have to redeem them before you redeem them. If they have an offspring, or if you try to exchange it onto another animal, over there, the tmura and the vlad will also have a din of kedusha, and it sounds like here that they'll have full-fledged kedusha, meaning that you'll be able to go on the mizbeach. The Gemara says, otan vladot shlachar pijonan, those vladot that are after the pijon, meaning that they conceived before they redeemed, they gave birth after they were redeemed, matei alein, what should be with them? Lifnei pidyonam, when it comes to before the pidyon, the case that we just brought from that braita, miflag plilig behu. If machloket about what happens to these vladot, ikalamanda amar kodshe likarev, they're so kadosh, meaning that they're deriving from something that is kadosh from dushat aguf, and even possibly when it has a mum in it, we have the pasuk including it to say that it produces a vlad that is kadosh. So maybe it's so kadosh, you can put it on the mizbeach. If it's born a tamim, you can put it on the mizbeach. That they're kodosh enough that their monetary value will end up on the mizbeach. So they're kodosh, But you will sell them for their monetary value, and that monetary value will be used to purchase something that will go on Mizbeach, to purchase an olah that will go on Mizbeach. So I understand, if it was conceived and it gave birth before the redemption, I know the din is that it's kadosh. A balmum that has such a vlad, the vlad is kadosh, and it's so kadosh that I actually have a machlok about what I do with it. Either it might go directly on the mizbeach, or it might be redeemed for its monetary value and that money used to buy something for the mizbeach. My question is, what happened if it conceived while it was kadosh, and then it only gave birth after it was redeemed? Now again, the third case where it conceived and gave birth after it was redeemed, we know the din over there is that it's chul in the gamer, because that's like it's being ma'ayal. So we want to know, what about the interim case, that middle case? So the other b'dyonan matei alehen, amrabuna kunsan lekipa. You lock them up in a room, v'hen meitin, and they die. You lock them up in a room, you withhold food from them, and then they die. That's the din for them. Te'echad avid, because what choice do we have? The karvinu, if you want to put them on the mizbeach, mikoach dusha duchuyaka atu. They're a derivative of Kedusha that was already knocked out, meaning they were redeemed. And since they were redeemed already, this animal was Kedusha Taguf, the mother, but it got a mum, so therefore it was pushed off the Mizbeach, and now not only that, it's been redeemed. So that animal, you can't, this Vlad, this offspring, we can't put it on the Mizbeach, because it's a derivative of something that won't end up in the Mizbeach as well. Lifrakinu, so what do you want to do? Redeem them? Lo alime the mitpas binyonan. They do not have enough level of kedusha for the redemption to take place. Now Rashi explains this to mean that the high dasurin, the fact that these vladot are asurim, is a gzeira ba'alma. Because in general, mina Torah, ubar yerachimo. The ubar is an extension of his mother. And the kedusha that left its mother when you redeemed the mother also left the vlad. So there's no reason for this vlad over here to be kadosh, because the mother's not kadosh. If you redeem the mother, you also redeem the ubar along with it. So why is it kadosh? That's gzeira dirabonon. So that gzeira dirabonon teaches me that this vlad will not go out willy-nilly. You have to redeem it. But you can't redeem it because this vlad doesn't have enough kadosha, not inherent kadosha to it. It's kadosha because it's gzeira dirabonon, but it doesn't have enough kadosha that can exchange that onto money. Amre b'marava mishmei d'rabbi Chanina. Chin has a different suggestion about what to do with these vladot. Samuch lepijonan, right before you redeem them, but pisam l'shemot zevach. You're magdish them for that zevach. Gemara says, samuch lepijonan, close to the redemption, the memra divnei pididia, you know, that you're allowed to redeem them. Where did you come up with this idea? You can redeem them. Ella, this is the statement of Rabbi Chanina. Ema, samuch lepijon iman. Before you redeem the mother, mat pisam l'shemot zevach. Then you magdish this ubar for the same category that its mother was. You have a shlamim over here, and has an ubar inside of it. It was ra'uya l'mizbeach, but it got a mum. So now you have to redeem the mother. Before you go about redeeming the mother, where she still has that kedushat aguf with her associated before you redeem it, say about the ubar, the fetus inside of her, that fetus should be mukdash l'shlamim. So now it'll be mukdash l'shlamim. So then when it's born, it'll have full-fledged kedushat shlamim, and you can put it on the mizbeach, as long as it's a tam. If it's a bal mum also, then you'll redeem it. But then it'll have full-fledged kedushat aguf. So time am I. Why do we do this? Or why is this the case? So I'm Rav Levi. Gzeira shema yigadel mehem adarim adarim. We're worried that he will make flocks and flocks using these psulei amakdushim. Rashi bring down three different explanations of how to understand this gemara about Rabbi Levi. What is he addressing? We'll go with the one that Rashi favors, which is the ikar mipi amoret. That's the one I heard from my Rebbe. That is, v'taimamai amatniten kamahadar. It's going back on the Mishnah. The gemara wants to, my taima asur achar pijon iman. Why are they asurim after you redeem the mother? Ha paka kedushatayu pijon imam. The kedusha of the ubar should go away when you redeem the mother. So why are we worried about these vladot? In this case, our Mishnah says, if it conceived before it was redeemed, and gave birth after it was redeemed, we say that the ubar is problematic, the vladan is serene. Why should it be asur? You redeem the mother. The ubar goes along with the mother, and it's fully redeemed. So why is this the case? And the Gemara says, that's what Rabbi Levi is coming to address. Gezeira, shemi gadel mehen adarim adarim. We're worried about the fact that you're going to keep them around to bring them up as fetuses. So over here, if we said that the vlad, that the offspring was mutar, then the person would hang around with his plumak, the shim, and try to bring up offspring. He'll use the mother to produce offspring that he can keep. And then people will come or forget that this is psulim of the shim, and then they'll come to do other things with the animal, they'll work with the animal, they'll do other things with this animal, and it'll lead to a big takala. So what we want you to do is be incented to shech that animal as fast as possible, because it has no utility besides eating it. So we're removing that utility by saying that which was conceived beforehand and then gave birth afterwards, we're going to leave it, or it's going to remain or retain its kedusha. Now, what's interesting is that if it's after it's redeemed, then we don't have an issue necessarily, because after it's redeemed, you're allowed to keep the ubarim, and the ubarim are mutarim, because it's ketzviv ayal. But over there, we may be less worried about it, because then we've already eliminated a lot of the kedusha through the pijom, even though there's still a restriction that you may eat it and not work with it. So it's interesting that gzirah only revolves around that one aspect, where it was conceived before, and then gave birth after the pidayon. Now Rashi asks on this explanation, what about the first half of the Mishnah? First half of the Mishnah, we said if it conceived before it was redeemed, and then after it was redeemed, it gave birth. That was a case where the mum came before the hektesh. Over there we said the vlad is mutar. Why don't we say the same thing there? That they'll keep it around to bring up other im, flocks and flocks of these animals. What happened to that reasoning over there? So Rashi says that that's lo shchiach. So aval el gadei kadam muman lekeshan lo gazrinan. There we don't have this gzer b'shul the milton lo shchiachi. It's not normal that people would matish something that already has a mum in it. And this we discussed in the past, which I mentioned before, which is that in Masechet Tumah it says, "Am a piece balei mumim lemizbeach over b'chamisha lovin." Person who is matish an animal that can only be kadosh b'tushat damim. Yet he's makdishit lemizbeach. He's in violation of alav. Of the makdishat balei mum instead about mum instead being makdish etam. So he's in violation of the law. So people don't normally do this. Since they don't normally do this, we don't have to make gzeirah to stop them from keeping these types of animals around, because it's lo shkiach. We only gozer in cases where it's shkiach. That's the latter case. That's the case of psulim mikdashim. Something that was kodesh, then got a mum. That's more frequent, and therefore there were gozer about these fetuses that they'll be asurim in order to prevent people from keeping these psulim mikdashim around. Vayimine ravina merav sheshet. Vina shav sheshet. Ma'u shemat pisan chol zevach shirtzeh. Why did Rabbi Hanina suggest that when it came to this psulei mekdashim, you should be makdishin for whatever korban the mother was? Why can't he just makdishin for whatever he wants? I'm like, ain't makpisin. You can't do that. You have to do it for the animal that it is. My time, huh? Why is that? See, I'm like, gamar bisharecha, bisharecha mi bechor. We're not a gzeir shava bisharecha, bisharecha mi bechor. By bechor, it says, we quoted these psukim before in Perak Tebav, Pasuk Habet, bisharecha tochalenu, atamei vator yachdav, katzvi v'chayal. And then the next pasuk, domo lo tochelu al arz tishpechenu chamayim. So over there, by the bechor, it says, bisharecha tochalenu, atamei vator yachdav, katzvi v'chayal. Now, by bechor, can't be makdishit for anything else. A bechor is a bechor. And that we have from the pasuk in Vayikra. And that is, ach bechor shi bekar l'ashem behema, lo yakdish yishoto, mshorim se l'ashem hu. So in Vayikra, Perach of Zayin, the end of Sefer Vayikra, it says as a bechor, you're not allowed to be makdish the bechor. We discussed this in our introduction to Masechta, because in other places, like in Devarim, it sounds like you do have to be makdish it. And Vayikra says you're not makdish it. But here he says, listen, it says in Vayikra, you're not allowed to be makdish the bechor for anything else besides the yushat bechor. And over there, bechor is called bisharecha tochlenu. And here by psulim mekdashim, we also have a bisharecha, because it says, Dvarim yudbet, pasuk tedvav, rak b'chol avat nafshecha tizbach v'chal to basar, kivrat v'irkat v'shem elkech ha-shenatan l'cha, b'chol she'arecha, hatamei v'ator yachlenu, katzvi v'chayav, so b'chol she'arecha. So we're going to say she'arecha, she'arecha. Just like the she'arecha by bechor says that you can't be makdishit for what you want, so too, the she'arecha psulim mekdashim says you can't be makdishit for what you want, only for that which was already designated. Gemar b'sherecha b'sherecha b'yachor ma b'chor yim ha-pisim l'chol zivach sh'yutzeh, d'ichtiv says in v'yikrach b'chor ha-shei b'chor la-shem b'mei ma, lo yekdish yishoto, avhani in ma-pisim l'chol zivach sh'yutzeh, you can't take them and do them with them whatever you want. The Tosfa just points out that limud between b'chor and kodoshim. Over there, we said that the bechor, you're not allowed to be matpis, you're not allowed to change it to any zevach you want. It's only after the animal's born. Because the kedushat bechor only happens when it comes through the womb, peterechem. Before that point, you can be makdish the ubar for whatever you want, because the kedushat bechor has yet to be chal on the animal. Even though by the case of kodoshim, when we're talking about even before it's born, you're not allowed to change it, he says that's fine, because all we learn from bechor is whenever the kedushat happens, then you can't change it anymore. So by kodeshim, where the kedusha happens, even when it's in its mother's womb, so that kedusha will prevent you from changing it. Just like by bechor, when its kedusha comes, it prevents you from changing it. So all we learn out from bechor is once you've reached that point where you are kadosh with this kedusha, you can't change it. So for bechor, that'll be after it's born. For kodeshim, that'll be even when it's in its mother's womb, that'll be the same din. So now, Tanya Gavate the Rav Sheshet, we have a bride that supports this position of Rav Sheshet, that you cannot be makdish them for whatever you want. And this breita basically is our Mishnah, but a more expansive version of our Mishnah, which is, Kochim shekadam mum kavu like tisham. They had the mum before they were nikdash v'niftu, and then they were deemed chayavim bebechora umatanot. Me'achora umatanot yochayav because they were kedushat damim, and once you remove the kedushat damim, they are chayavim. They're kulin negamrei, and they're chayavim in bechora umatanot. Again, it's not exactly kedushat damim as Tosfos explained before, and the Gemara said saying that there was kedushat for damim limizbeah. A ben lifnei pidyonam, ben achar pidyonam. Whether it's before they redeemed or after they redeemed, hagozeis v'oved behem eino sofeget arbayim. Someone who deshears them or works them does not get malkold. Nevertheless, there's still an Isur to do that because you're being nenem mihektesh. At least before you redeem them, be mi'ilah, you would be nenem minhem, so you can't work them or shear them beforehand, but you won't get malkot because you're not under the restriction of gizam voda. There's no Isur lav by them for malkot. Ben lifnei pidyonam, ben achar pidyonam, eno sim t'mura. They're not able to create t'mura. That's because what we saw in the Gemara yesterday, that it has to be tov mi'karo. Only something that is a tam from the start can create t'mura, but something that was always a balmum cannot create t'mura. Lifnei pidyonam, before they redeem, ma'alim behen. There is a din of mi'ilah. That's what we said before, that there's a problem of working with them or shearing them because of mi'ilah, but not because of the isur of working them or shearing them. But after the redeem, they become chul in the gamarei, and there's no mi'ilah. Vivladatayim chol, and we saw that before, that their offspring are chol, even if they were conceived prior to the redemption, but they were born after redemption, they're chol. And Rashi explained over here that the chalamim were not gozer over there. V'niftim t'mimim. And if before they were redeemed, they gave birth to offspring, those offspring can be redeemed even if they don't have a mum in them, because they are a derivative kedusha of something that was always nidchet and was always a problem of mum, and therefore they have a status of a mum, a vlad of a mum, and they can be redeemed even without any mum in the offspring. And after you redeem them, you can make them kadosh for whatever you want. You can use them for whatever korban you want because they're chulin the gamrei. Klolo shel davar. Here's the principle. Arein chulin lechol davarim. They're chulin the gamrei. In the chalaim el mitzvat ilui dovad. The only mitzvah you have is the mitzvah of ilui, as Rashi explains that you have to redeem them. Ilui means you have to take the monies and use those monies to buy something for the mizbeach. But other than that, there is no mitzvah with regard to this animal. Aval, the latter, this is like the seifa of our Mishnah, kadam hekdesham et mumam, if the case where it was hekdesh first, and then only afterwards they get a mum kavua. Oh, mum over, hekdesham, they had a mum over, a temporary mum, and then they were in hekdesh, and then afterwards they got a mum kavua, viniftu, and you redeemed them, durim in a bechora mitanot, that's what we started our daf with today, they are patur from bechora mitanot, because they're compared to the tzvina. Ben lifnei pidyonam, ben lachar pidyonam. Whether it's before or after the pidyonam, a gozeis v'oveg ben sofeg gadar arba'im. Then you get malkot arba'im, and that's what we learn from tizbach ve'achalta basar. That over there, rak b'chol avad nafshecha, tizbach ve'achalta basar. That there's a restriction against doing avodah gizah, drinking the milk from it. Those are all an iser lav of mistreating or misusing or misappropriating psulei hamikdashim. Ben lifnei pidyonam, ben lachar pidyonam, osin t'mura. It's able to make t'mura. That we haven't dealt with yet. The Gemara will deal with. We dealt with beforehand. It makes sense. It can make a t'mura because there it wasn't tov mi'ikaro. After it's redeemed, why it makes t'mura or how it deals with that, that'll be tomorrow's daf. Lifnei pidyonam molein behen. Before they are redeemed, there's iser mi'ilah because they're hekdesh. Lachar pidyonam in molein behen. There is no mi'ilah after they're redeemed because they're no longer hekdesh. Viv Ladotam Kodesh, that's what we just discussed now, that their offspring are Kodesh, because if they were conceived while before their redemption, and then only born after the redemption, that's Gzerat Chachamin, Shelo Yigadel Behem Adarim Adarim, therefore the Vladotam are Kodesh. Vein Nivdim Tmimin, they're Vladot, if they are without a mum in them, you cannot redeem them until they get a mum. Now we had the machloket before, if that happened all prior to the redemption, that an animal could either end up on the mizbeach, or it still might have to be redeemed. But if it has to be redeemed, you have to wait for a mum, because you can't redeem them to be mim, because they are a derivative of a kedusha that was full-fledged kedusha the guf at one point. And these offspring, you can't do whatever you want with them. They are limited. Kolosho davar, principle here is, harein hekeg desh l'chol divrayem, suim k'deshim evedin mekdesh. The only thing you can do with them is after you redeem them, you can eat them. So that's the only option. Yes, they're kodesh, the gamrei. They have all the restrictions, all the trappings of something that is hekdesh. Just they won't end up in this mizbeach. You have a right to eat it. But that's the only right that you have in it.
So the Gemara says, "Kolo shel davar." When it comes to the principle of the reisha, latuyeh shochet b'chutz to patur. That comes to teach us that they're chulin the gamre, so chulin that if you do shkitat chutz, you're patur, because they're not ro'uy the mizbeach. They have a mum in them. They're not ro'uy to go on the mizbeach, and therefore they are pturim. Kolo shel davar, the seifa, the principle that's later in the seifa comes latuyeh kalavos. Come to include it milk. The milk is asura. So now we have this braita, which supports the position of Rav Sheshet, that you're not allowed to do whatever you want with this offspring. This offspring can only be used for the korban that its mother was designated, not for whatever you want, and that supports that answer given by Rav Sheshet. Now Rashi does point out, why did the Gemara say that the klal dosh of Aresha is for shochet b'chutz is patur? Why don't you keep being consistent? Say the klal dosh of Aresha teaches you shkutei chutz is patur. Klal dosh of Aresha in the seifa teaches you shkutei chutz is chayav, or the other way around. Sorry, the klal dosh of the seifa is latuye chalavos, come to include it, milk. Say that the milk is asura. So then why don't we extrapolate that to the ratio as well and say that by the ratio it's for chalavos mutar? Right, says it's obvious. In the ratio, if you say the ubar, which is an extension of the mother, is mutar, then certainly its milk, which is a product of the mother, should be mutar. So you don't need the klal dosh of davar for that. And if you had written shkutei chutz in the ratio and shkutei chutz in the seifa, it's not a generic statement that the shkutei chutz of the seifa will be chayav. It's only in the case of dokin shvayin, it's a specific mum, it's a libid rabbi akiva, we haven't gotten up to that in the Gemara, but we're gonna get there. Very limited. So that's why the Gemara didn't want to deal with shkutei chutz in the seifa. So therefore, the Braita or the Gemara distinguished between the Klal Shel Davar of the Reisha to speak about Shkutei Chutz and the Klal Shel Davar of the Seifa to speak about Chalavo. But once again, this Braita is a support to that position of Rav Sheshet. Now, the last Amamar, we're just going to review a little piece of this Braita. Amamar, Einiv Dim Tmimim, Vein Bapisin Lechol Zevak Shir Tzeh. So now the Gemara is Medayek. Tmimim Hu Delo Mifrkei. When these vladot are tmimim, you can't redeem them. Habale momim, if they do get a mom, mifrkei, it sounds like you can redeem them. Now it says, the chol, zevach shir tzeh, hu de'im mapisam. It also says that there's a restriction about being mapis de zevach, and it's vlad, this offspring, for whatever you want. Halo tov zevach, mapisam, but if you would do it for the same zevach, you would be allowed to be makdishit. So, what's the case that is true? Where you'll have the offspring have a mom in it, and it'll be mupas for the same zevach. You were mapis the offspring for that same korban as its mother, and then it gets a moment and then you redeem it. So name it David Tiyufta to Rav Huna. That's a very big problem for Rav Huna, because we had before, what do you do with these vladot that were conceived before they were redeemed, and after they were redeemed, they gave birth? We had two suggestions about what to do with it. Rav Huna says, consume it until the kippah, you lock it up and it dies because we can't do anything with it. Rabbi Chanina had a different solution. His solution was you makdish the ubar before you redeem the mother, and then that ubar will take on a full-fledged kedusha. And that's what it sounds like from this braita. So that'll be a tiyuf to Rav Huna. So I'm going to call Rav Huna. Will answer and say, no, it doesn't have to be a question made this braita. Hu do adin da filu balimimuim in nivdim. It's not true. Even if it got a moment that you can't redeem this, Vlad. So why is it written that it's tmimim? By the entire ratio, nivdim tmimim. The chiddush is in the ratio. In the case where the mum was before the hektesh, where there he said the vlad you can redeem even if it's a tamim. He doesn't need a mum in it, you can redeem it. So therefore, tananami seifa ain't nivdim tmimim. But it's really true, ain't nivdim tmimim or valimun. V'ad tani ratio. And in the ratio it says the chol zevach shir tzeh. And the ratio tells you you can be makdish, the offspring, for whatever you want, because they're chul in the gamre. So therefore, tana seifa nami the chol zevach shir tzeh. You cannot be makdish for whatever you want. The truth is, you can't even be makdish for its own animal. So he's just saying that the seifa, you should not be medayek out of the seifa to come to the conclusion like Rabbi Chanina, but rather the seifa is just a parallel structure to the ratio, and you can't be medayek anything from the seifa, and that's why it's not a question on me, because the seifa is just parallel structure, not to come to teach you any din or any diyuk that it should be like Rabbi Chanina, and therefore it's not a tiyufta to Rav Huna. Okay, we'll stop over here.